have teach fifth and sixth grader. I have teach first to third grader. I never really teach kindergarten. But right now I'm teaching in third grade right now, and I'm in charge with first to third grader, and I'm the coordinator for first to third grader. And so it's more like a, it's not really like teaching here, it's more like sharing with you what my experience, what I have learned throughout the 8 years of serving with the children. And first of all, I have you guys fit into, according to your age group, that you are teaching right now, or you have passion on teaching those children in that age. First, I want you to talk about within your group some of the characteristics you find out in your specific target group of people. If you are kindergarten, okay, you see in kindergarten, you can talk about how kindergarten learn. Okay, what are they? How they associate with people other than kindergarten? If you sit with first to third grader, you can talk about where is the characteristic of first to third grader, and then so on for fourth to sixth. You can talk about their whether they how they learn stuff, or whether they like to talk and how they behave. What you observe when you are in class teaching them, so you can discuss it, and then we let you have about like. 5 minutes to discuss about it, and then we'll come back and talk about it. So, in the meantime, you just talk about within your group what you have observed about your age group, how they behave, and what are the characteristics of that age group that you know.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Teach the toddlers to use
these things. It's okay. I think it's very close to kindergarten.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you about the first thing we're going to talk is about understanding the children. So that's why I have you guys sit into different age groups, because that helps you to understand your age group that you're targeting. So I want you to talk about it, see whether you observe, will it match whatever we know, or in the education level, whether they see the same thing as you observe within your class.
I haven't teached for fifth or yet.
How about the fourth, seventh, sixth grade? Do you ever teach before fifth?
Six, seven, eight.
Okay.
Yeah, we can separate it a little bit different. We have like a fourth and fifth.
Through to fifth now. Because as children, they consider from anything beyond sixth grader, it will become junior high. Yeah, so they separate different. So when they consider as children, so sixth grader, some sixth grader they will consider as junior high, but some they consider as children. Yeah. Pretty much they are very close to four, fifth, and sixth, really close to the junior high, seven, and eight. They behave pretty similar, but not as active, but not as mature.
Yeah.
But they see, you still see similarity between those. Yeah. Even though with junior high and four, fifth, and sixth. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever teach third grade, fourth grade?
Yeah, I am doing it.
So what do you see within the fourth grader?
I think they are old enough to sit there quietly for a relatively long period. I think they can start it. They can start systematically learning. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different from like second or first grader, as they are very active. It's difficult for them to sit there to learn. But in terms of learning, I think mostly they learn the facts. They started to understand it a little bit, but it's still not there yet. Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking at all the children's age group, I feel that to me, third to fifth probably is a relatively easy age group. That's my understanding.
Yeah, I think they still have a desire to please.
Yeah.
And not like when we see in 6, 7, and 8, they're starting to become their own person. They want their sort of independence. They want to learn things the way they want to learn. But 3 to the younger grade, they're happy to take in whatever you give them and show that they understand it.
Yeah, and you just mentioned one important thing, they still like to please. That's when make it easier for you to manage them.
Yeah.
I think for older kids, 6th grader or 7th grader, they have their own thinking. Yeah, so they will really analyze whatever you say, whether they accept whatever you teach, whether is it right, or even though you tell them it's right, they still will think about it, whether is it right, or they accept what you teach them. They won't really, they will challenge you.
I think at 6th grade they're still, even actually 7th and 8th, but at 6th grade they still struggle to apply.
Mm-hmm.
They can know facts and like they all know their Bible stories very well. If you ask them to explain it, they can go through it, and then you say, okay, well, what was God trying to teach us with that story? That part gets a little bit more difficult for them, but they definitely can learn the facts. It's as you transition and get a little older that we say, okay, how's that work in your normal day where you use it? That part's harder.
Yeah. I mean, some people find that it's easier to teach older grade, say younger grade, because you can communicate with them better. But with younger kids, some people, they have a problem communicating with like first grader or kindergarten because they don't know what they know. Just like one way you teach them, but you never know whether they really learn that. So it's hard for some teachers. So yeah. We tend to find teachers willing to teach older grade than younger grade because it's hard to communicate, and also it's hard to tell the story because storytelling is another technique. You have to know how to tell the story to attract them to listen, and somehow for Chinese it's hard to tell the story very interesting. It's not that easy for us. Yeah, I don't know in your church, but for us, especially we are it's not a second generation, we're first generation. So our mother language is still not English, so it's not that easy to tell the story. Yeah, but it's easier to communicate with the older kids. Yeah.
I think one thing is, Sunday school in their eyes is still different from their regular school.
Yeah.
And how can you motivate them and to let them realize, okay, that's the things they should do instead of they're half there. I mean, for most kids, when they come to Sunday school, they're half in the Sunday school, the other half is not there. To some kids, it's the time for them to meet kids they regularly don't see. It's once a week. They have a lot to talk about. And so their concentration is not really on the learning, but most of their concentration is for socializing.
Yeah.
So how you can motivate the kids? See, like for 30 minutes, I think that's enough if they can really concentrate.
Actually, if you look, maybe the handout we talk about later, even though for 4 to 6, spending time is maybe only like maximum 20 minutes. So that's why we're having later on how to plan your lesson. If you know your kid, how to plan your lesson so that you won't have one thing, you don't have them sit there for like 30 minutes, they'll get bored. At the end, they get bored and they don't like to come. Like eventually they don't want to come back for Sunday school, they feel very bored. So when they grow up to junior high, a lot of kids lost, they don't go to church starting from junior high after they go to children, because right now they have to go because the parents force them to go. But when they get older, they can choose not to go. Yeah, so that's why we have to make things different and make things interesting in the lesson. Different thing to do with them so that keep their attention. And
so you can go 20 minutes but then just switch to something else.
Yeah, switch something else. Yeah. So you have to think of different activity, plan your lesson in different activity, and then you can like switch around so that they can stretch. Because they like to move, you cannot have them sit down for that long. Just have them move around and then switch. So it will be easier.
For younger kids, you can use activities to attract them, but for relatively older kids, that doesn't
actually
work.
Older kids, they do like it too.
What depends on what kind of
games.
Yeah.
Yeah. In junior high, we used to let them come up with skits to sort of talk about the lesson and stuff, and it just depends on the mix of kids. Some kids love that, other kids aren't that creative, and you know, you have to adapt for them. But yeah, I think for the littler kids, it is hard to sit, physically sit that long.
I thought that kindergarten for a year, I actually enjoy that. Yeah, because they are very good.
I think it's about time that we can come back. You have kind of discussion within your age group, so that you know, probably you will find similar things within each other because you are targeting the same age group. And we're going to talk about understanding the children. Do you know why is it important to understand the children? First, I think Christ's mandate is important, is advises us to make disciples. Okay, when you talk about make disciples, it's dealing with people. Okay, so it's not program that we're trying to make, it's to make disciples. Okay, so we're dealing people, even though we're adults, you're doing Sunday school, same thing. We are making disciples. So it's very important to understand our children, who they are, what their needs are. And also as we know, Christian education, the primary focus for education is on people instead of programs, activities, or etc. A lot of time we will think of a lot of different programs or activities to do with the kid, or what kind of activity we will create, or we will bring them to, or we show them movies, or we will do different kind of art and craft, or different kind of activities with them. But we forgot to understand our children and what are their needs and how those programs can fit into the age group. And third, it's very important to understand the kids so that we can design the lesson that we're going to teach. Different age group have their different needs and what they can do. Okay, if you cannot have the kindergarten, I think the kindergarten can only do coloring, but you cannot make a very complicated art and craft at the kindergarten to do it. So, and again, you cannot just have the sixth grader or fifth grader to color, but you can challenge them to make something very complicated craft, and they will be very enjoying doing that because they need challenge. Okay, so it's easier to design the program, the lessons, when you know your age group. And when we talk about understanding the kid, there is five different aspects of human personality we want to talk about first, so that under that different category we can understand how the children behave. First is physical. Okay, we know that everyone, when you first see, we all have physical bodies. Okay. And also, this is the physical body that within them, they inherit for them, the children to have the abilities and limitations. Okay, so you know that what is their abilities is and their limitations is. And also, our first impression when you see people is the physical appearance. That's why we are very concerned how we look and how people look at us. Okay, that is our physical. And when we talk about intellectual, okay, and we have minds that we think and know, okay, and we can develop increasingly complex and complete ways of thinking, which help us to understand the world and the larger question of life. That's how kids learn too. Okay, so they are growing intellectually too. Okay, how they have things, they know. Okay, you tend to find older kids will really think. Younger kids, they may not really think, but again, it really depends on individual. Some kids, even though they are in kindergarten, they are more mature than within the same age. Okay, next is emotional. Okay, emotional, we're not talking about how they feel inside, is the action that reflect, is they call affection. It is the way that they carry out the emotion inside. Kid is not like adult. They will kind of, adult we kind of hide if we are not happy. When we are sad, we may not show. But kids, they will show. If they are not happy, if they fear, they will cry. If they want their parents, they will kind of cry, mom, mom, mom. You have kids in your, probably in your class like that. But if they are happy, you see that they smile, laugh a lot. If they're sad, you can tell from the expression. So this is what their emotion, when they understand for emotion, it's not something just like inner feeling that they have, is you can tell from the outside how they show, how their response is. And so-so. And when we talk about so-so, it's the relationship with others, okay? And children, we know that children are controlled by dependent relationship with parents, but adults are different. They move from independent relationship with other adults. But you will know that's why how you can see children react socially within different age group. Okay. So in kindergarten, they may be still more attached to their parents compared to the older kid. They probably more like to be with their friends than with the parents. Moral. Okay. And also human beings are concerned about right and wrong, even for kids too. Okay. They are concerned about right and wrong. And for children, I think the main concern for them is fairness. I don't know whether you have heard them say it's not fair, it's not fair. To them, it's not just right and wrong, but fairness is more important to them than just right and wrong. But for adults, for us, we were more concerned about social justice, about right and wrong. But for kids, they are more concerned about fairness in the moral sense, that's what they think of. Okay, that's five different aspects. According to that five different aspects, we'll talk about the different age group according to that five aspects. And when we talk about the different age group, when we talk about kindergarten, first to third, fourth to sixth, we are talking about general idea within that age group. You may have kids that are different, okay? We're just talking about general sense. So you may expect some kids, they are more mature, even though in kindergarten, they may have more mature kids in kindergarten. Or even though up to fourth to sixth grade, you may still have kids, they are not that mature, just like their level. So this is just a general guideline for you to understand your kids. But it's not like a measurement that they have to be like this. It's just a general guideline, okay? So we're gonna talk about kindergarten first, okay? And just wanna ask about the kindergarten group when you have discussed, right? What you have seen about kindergarten? What you guys have come up about talking about kindergarten?
Well, we're focusing on the 2-3 years old.
Okay, yes. They are very close with toddler. Kindergarten, a little bit mature than the toddler, okay, in a sense. But what do you find out about kindergarten or about toddler?
They are very attached to mom.
Okay, that's the social. They're very still attaching, or they like to attach with parents, okay, still attach with parents. Mm-hmm. What else?
They have limited skills.
They have very limited skill, yes. So physical, that we're going to talk about, very limited skill. They may not know how to use the scissors as well.
Shorter attention span.
Yes, compared to all the different children, the kindergarten have the shortest attention span, yes, yeah. I think you already know some of the characteristics of kindergarten, okay? And here we also depend on those five different aspects we talk about. Physically, kindergarten, compared to toddler, they are in rapid growth. They are growing, okay? And just like in the bottom, it said girls mature more rapidly than boys. You may see girls are much taller than boys in kindergarten, okay? And maybe they are more mature in a way intellectually, not just physically, okay? And also they have a lot of energy in kindergarten. That's why they cannot sit still. But they will tire easily, okay? I don't know whether after church you see the kindergarten kid, they would fall asleep right away when their parents hold them up or put it in the car. But they are very active, a lot of energy, but tired very easily. That's how the physical is. For intellectual, they will always want a reason for everything. They always ask why. But they're not really looking for the answer. They just want to ask why for everything. You cannot just tell them, I said so. That's why you have to do it. Even though you tell them a reason, they may not really get it. But it just happens, they always like to ask why you want to do this, why that. And also, one of the sisters also shared, they have limited ability, like physical ability, using stuff, okay, maybe scissors, okay, maybe they are limited to coloring, or they can do sticking stuff, if you give them glue, but you have to cut that out for them to do craft. They have very limited ability, but they are using it better than a toddler, compared to a toddler level, okay, they're gaining that ability to do it. And the attention span time is only 5 to 7 minutes for kindergarten. So if you know kindergarten only can spend maximum 7 minutes, you cannot have them to do work or just sit still to listen to you for 10 minutes. I think after the first 5 minutes, you see the kids starting like this, looking around, moving, because their attention is already losing. Okay, that's how the kindergarten are. And emotionally, okay, they have more emotional control than the two or three years old kid. Okay, and they usually evidence few fears. They're not afraid anymore because they start to go to kindergarten. Okay, they get in touch with more other people, so they're not afraid and they not fear anymore, and they can control better, okay, emotionally. Socially, they can start to play with other children, but they still, just like the sister said, attached to their parents. Okay, but they start to play with other kids. Morally, they start to develop a growing understanding of the difference between right and wrong. They know what is right, what is wrong. You can tell them when they do wrong stuff, you can tell them it's wrong. They know that. So they can start to know that what is God's standard. And they can start to know in kindergarten that what is sin, what is wrong, what is meaning when they do wrong, what is mean by they have sin. They are not up to the level of what God expects. They start to know that in kindergarten. Okay. Of course, they may not really understand the deeper meaning, but they can know what does that mean. Okay. We talk about primary. Primary children is about ages six to eight, about first to third grader. Okay. Physically, they are growing rapidly and unevenly. Okay. Maybe some grow faster, some grow slower, especially girls. Okay. Grow faster than boys. Okay. They are extremely active and energetic. Running around mostly is first to third grader. Okay. The older kid, they play, but not running around like that. But first to third grader is much more active. The first to third grader in our church, especially the second grade and the third grader, they were just running around. When we have lunch, they just running around constantly. After they eat, they just running around and play. Can hardly ask them to sit still or just stop. They stop for 1 minute and again, they will go running and running. And they doesn't really look that tired too, not like kindergarten, okay? And they also develop better small muscle coordination. So they can use scissors. Maybe first grade is not that good yet, but starting to second and third grader, they can use scissors, they can do a lot of things. Intellectually, they are a careful observer. They observe what you do. When you teach, when you do, they observe. They observe their parents, they observe Sunday school teachers too. So when you tell one thing, you teach them something, and they will see whether you really do it. Okay. And they are eager to please adults. For younger kids, they are eager to please. They want to show they are good. Okay, they want to do whatever you ask so that to please you. Okay. And they're still literate and concrete in thinking. So very direct thinking. As you cannot tell them something very complicated, they may not understand. Okay, it's very direct thinking. The attention time is a little bit better than a kindergarten. About 10 to 15 minutes, still very short. It's not a long period of time. If you think about, you have an hour Sunday school, and every time the attention time is only 10 to 15 minutes, then you have to think about different things to do with them. And I think you can easily see that. They have difficulty understanding chronological sequences, okay? That is, if you tell them something in the past, I told my I teach third grader. I told them I went to Israel 2 years ago, and they asked me, were they dressed like when you read the Bible? Okay, sandals, not modern clothes like this. They thought the people in Israel, they still have the kind of concept like whatever the Bible said at that time, it still happened in this time. they don't have that kind of concept about time, they will change. So they would thought that they were living in a very old time, just like the old time. They walk or they sit on camel and donkey. They don't really know that it's a modern city, just like New York or Connecticut or other city. Okay. So they don't really know what kind of time frame is like that. But you can tell them right now and in the past, but they cannot really understand. Somehow they cannot really understand the chronological sequences. Okay. And for the primary kid, for the emotionally, they are still unstable in controlling the emotion. They will still, you still see them when they are not happy, they'll cry. You still see them when they argue, when they're sad, okay, they cry. They cannot control their emotion. Even boys, you still see boys crying, okay? And girls too, they still cry. Okay. And they are sympathetic to those on his own age. They're more easily to relate it to the kid with their own age. If you give them a storybook set talking about a kid with their own age, what they have suffered, they're more sympathetic to those kind of kids because they more associate with them. And they are happy, noisy, and giggly, but have difficulty expressing his feelings, okay? You see that they're happy. They show the emotion very clear in from first grade to third grader. And socially, they're moving from dependent on adults to cooperation and friendliness with other children. You see them, they start to play with their friends. They like to play with their friends. They don't want to go home with their parents that soon. They always want to stay behind and play with their friends. Not like kindergarten, they still want to play, but they still attach to their parents. But first to third grader, they start to make more friends, want to play with friends. And in the age group, boys and girls have short-lived relationship. Early years, early primary years, first grade, maybe second grade, boys and girls can still play together frequently. But starting from third grader, okay, they will have a change, okay? I don't know how many of you teaching third grader. You guys teaching third grade right now? Any people teaching third grade? Okay. Did you see boys and girls sitting together? They separate, right? Do they play together?
Well, they argue with each other.
Okay. Okay. When it's arguing, they will argue with each other, fighting with each other. Who's teaching second grade? Anyone teaching second grade here? You teaching second grade?
I was,
okay. Were they playing with each other first, second grade?
Yeah.
Okay. You see the difference between second and third? Somehow from second to third grader and then beyond third grader, boys and girls start to kind of separate. They don't want to play with each other anymore. Not like kindergarten, first grade, second grade. They still play together. They don't really know much about boys and girls somehow. That kind of thing. But starting from third grader, they start to see that difference. They won't, like girls will sit with girls, boys will sit with boys. They don't want to play with each other. They have their own playing whatever games they play. But they will argue, okay? They argue with each other, okay? But when you, but if you have them to do group work, they will do that. Even though they want to separate, but if you want them to do group work, it's exciting for them. And also they start to become very competitive, especially starting from third grade too. So boys usually will compete with their girls. They like to compete each other. Okay, so they starting to have competition between them. Okay, and morally, they are developing concepts of right and wrong and are very concerned with fairness. And starting from that grade, kindergarten may not really think about fairness at that point, but starting in first grade to third grade, they are very concerned about fairness. You cannot give one candy to one kid but not the other, unless that kid really won a game or they can like recite a Bible verse as a prize for them. Or else you cannot just give it to one kid. And if you give to one kid win to recite Bible verses, everyone want to recite a Bible verse, want to get one candy. Because they just have competition and about fairness. That's forced them to do those stuff. Okay. For junior children, for 4th to 6th grader, about ages 9 to 11. Physically, they grow slowly but steadily, okay? You see that grow, but not like very fast rate. But after maybe after sixth grade, when they hit junior high, it's another thing. They will grow very fast at that point. And they're extremely active and never seems to tire. Okay? They don't need any more nap anymore at that age. Maybe in first to third grade they still want to have a nap. But for fourth to sixth grader, they're extremely active but they're not tired. And also they have very good motor coordination. If you're making art and craft with them, they can make very complicated things. And surprisingly, some of them can make very, very good art and craft. Okay, they have that kind of gift to make art and craft. Intellectually, they are alert, keen, and critical. Okay, they know what you're talking, so you cannot fool them. You cannot tell them lies. You cannot tell them what is not true because they know. They will ask questions, and sometimes they may challenge you too. And they can understand symbolism, although it may be difficult. Okay, so when you teach them, you can teach something which are more, not just literal, but you can teach more abstract things. They can understand more. Because they also go to school more, they learn because they learn in school regularly for those many years, so they start to develop that thinking. And the attention times is about 15 to 20 minutes. As again, depends on the kid. Some kids, they don't really have that much attention time spent for 4 to 6 graders. Especially they're active, extremely active and not tired easily. So the attention time may be shorter, may not be 20 minutes that long, maybe just 15 or maybe just 10. And they start to develop a accurate perception of time, space, and number. They start to know and understand about time and space. Emotionally, they like to impress people with their bravery and dislike being called cowards or sissy. You cannot tell them cowards. Especially boys are very concerned about that. They don't like people saying they're cowards. They want to show them they are brave, they will do everything. That's why when you dare them to do stuff, they will do it at that age. Okay? Because they don't want people to look down on them. Okay? And they may cover their feelings because of peer pressure. If you see a kid, one time I see a kid just sit down and we're trying to have separation. We separate from kindergarten to second grade, they're sitting together, and third to sixth grade, they're sitting together. And when we're serving snack, I see a sixth grader was sitting down quietly. Doesn't look to me he's happy. So I approach him, I ask him what happened, how come you look not really looking right? And he said nothing. But I know there's something because he doesn't really look good. I said, what happened? I asked him again. And then he started to tell me because his friend is teasing him because he's getting big. Because he gained weight. And he started to gain weight. And that's why he's not happy, okay? Because it's hurting his feeling. But he's not telling, or he's not trying to show. Even though you ask, he may not tell you. The first time you may probably have to insist to ask him. Or you may have, because your relationship with him is building up, that's why he's able or he feels free to talk to you. But they start to hide their feelings. And also they have quick temper, and also they are react hastily in situation where they put on the spot. So when you have kids, and especially boys, they react fast. And they have, some of the kids have very high temper. And sometimes starting if they have violent, like some kids react violently too at that age, but may not in younger age. But some kids they do in a younger age. It depends on what happened in the family. Sometimes it also affects how the kid grow up too. Okay. But for them, you can teach them how to control their emotion. I'm not talking about when they feel bad, when they feel sad or happy, to control that kind of emotion. It is when they are angry, you can teach them how to control their emotion. Some kids, they tend to, when they get angry, they will kick stuff, they will bang on the chairs. Okay, we have kids like that in our church. But you can teach them how to control their emotion. Socially, they are eager to be friends, to be with their friends, and to be influenced more significantly by them. So you can see at that age they always hang around with their own friends. And sometimes you see them, they're using the same bag, they're dressing the same way, very likely, because they're influenced by their friends. They want to be not really identical, but more like in the same group. And they're more independent from their parents, okay? They don't really want, their parents treat them as a kid. They want more independent from their parents. They, again, enjoy competition. Also, at that age, boys and girls not really sitting together or playing together, but they can talk or they can compete or they can have group work again at that age. And also, they will start to develop crushes and heroes worship. So I have talked to kids, but at that age, they will start to have idols, what kind of singer or celebrity they would like at that age, or heroes that they would like. They will start to develop those things at that age. Probably around 5th or 6th grader, may not be a 4th grader, but mainly about 5th and 6th grader. Morally, they distinguish between right and wrong. They know what is right and what is wrong. And they're very concerned about rules and fairness. Again, even though for that age, they still concern fairness, okay? And most important, they start to recognize the need for a personal savior, okay? At that age, they know they need a personal savior. They are able to make that kind of decision. And also, they are likely to have a deeper feeling, to develop a deeper feeling for God. And also, they are forced to make more and more moral choices in church, in school, within their friends. I think constantly they are making moral choices in school. I think we have talked about over there about how to apply for them what they have learned. And actually, that's the time that they will apply when they're making choices, because they're constantly making choices in school. How they dress, okay? How they dress to school, how they dress to church, what kind of movies they see, what kind of TV they see, they're constantly making those choices. And that's how they related their beliefs in their life at that point. Okay? So this is the part that we talk about understanding the children. Is there any question that you want to ask? Or you can share, you want to share with us that we haven't talked about it? Okay. Now we have finished talking about understanding the children. We're going to talk about classroom discipline. You guys have any problem within your classroom discipline?
Yes.
All the time?
All the time.
All the time. What kind of problem you have?
They don't listen.
Okay.
They don't care.
What grade is that?
All grades.
Okay. Except from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Right.
Okay. They don't listen.
It's probably easier for the younger one to discipline the younger one than the older one.
Okay.
The older one, they're not accept the physical award. So for the younger one, give them a sticker as a word, and they can be attempted for that. But for the older kids, they don't care.
Oh, okay. Actually, one thing I forgot to talk about for older kid. For older kid, in junior child, the fourth grade to sixth grader, they will test your authority. They will question about your authority. They will challenge your authority. So when you're teaching older kids, you have to be very firm. You have to let them know you are their teacher. Don't let them challenge you. Don't let them go over your head, because they will know. Actually, even for younger kids, they know too. I mean, we have teachers complaining like they don't listen. Even though they tell them not to talk or not to move, they're still moving around, they talk a lot. But some teachers, for me, if I walk in, they will know. They were all quiet. Because they know who can they mess up with, they know who cannot. Because when you start to teach them, you have to set up your image when you first go into the classroom. Okay? If the first time or second time you fail, okay, forget about the rest of the time. Because they're not going to listen to you. And it's very hard to build up that kind of authority figure. I think for us too, when you think about when you're young, okay, you know who you're afraid of. Okay, I'm afraid of my dad, okay, not my mom, I know, it's easy. I mean, my dad, because every time I see my dad, is like probably being punished by him. That's why I know I'm afraid of my dad, okay. I will behave better when my dad is here. But same thing, when children, when you're raising teaching, when you're teaching children, constantly they are challenging you, your authority. Even though for maybe it's easier for kindergarten, but starting at that older age, they are really challenging you, your authority. Okay, so it's more, it's kind of related to classroom discipline. Okay, so besides not listening, what else do you see that's a problem in your classroom?
Are you going to talk about how you establish your authority in the first, second?
How I
thought.
I think, yeah, we will talk about it. Yeah, actually, as we talk about what does really mean by discipline. What does really mean by discipline? I think when we kind of talk thinking about discipline, we're thinking it in a negative way, meaning like you have to be very authoritative, or you have to be very firm. Okay, it's more like punishing, but actually discipline is not really just punishing, it's more than that. Okay, anything else that you find in your...
I think there are some difficult kids. You can see some kids, they may have difficulty at home. They cannot listen, they want to break the law, they want to tempt you, they want to test the water and see how far you can allow them to go. Those kids are really destructive and can be destructive to the whole class. So those kids are very difficult at home.
Yeah. I think there is some, my experience, I think we experience more kids having problem, like really problem, not just they don't have attention or they don't want to listen. They really have problem. I think a lot of kids having problem right now. So sometimes it may not, they purposely doing that, or they may really have problem. They may have really attention deficit. Okay, they're not really challenging you, but they may not really concentrate, cannot concentrate. Okay, and also sometimes we have to understand about their background, what happened within the family. When we're doing children work, it's not just dealing with one child or two children. Sometimes we have to look beyond that, and we'll look into that family. They may have family issues that we don't know. So we thought that child is, he's like headache for us. But if you look into his family or her family, that may be something going on. That's why he or she react like this. So sometimes it's just want you have the kind of mindset when you're teaching kid, it's not just that kid, it's that whole family. So sometimes I always think that children ministry and family ministry is not something that can be separate, because you're always constantly dealing with the parents. Any other?
Yeah. Can you just tell us that how did you friend yourself in the first class?
How do I what?
Friend. Like tell them what to do in the first class. Why they will be so quiet when you walk into the classroom?
I think it's what God has given me gift. Oh, actually personality. Actually, when I not smile, a lot of people, even though my friend that know me for a long time, they would tell me like, when I first meet you, I'm very afraid of you because I'm not smiling. When I'm not smiling, so somehow I just look mad. So they afraid.
But we don't want to be mean to them.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of people like me to teach them, even though I'm mean. Well, it's very surprisingly, but not because I think when we talk about discipline, when we talk about what we can do, then they will know. And I think when we talk about discipline, a lot of time when we talk about discipline is you have to go in the classroom, punish them, or make them not have them having fun. Okay, just sit there and learn. This is what my thinking of discipline as a Chinese. When we think about discipline, it's mother and father hold you and then like taking something, hit you, whatever. It's like more punishment than something else. But when we talk about discipline in church level, when God talk about discipline, it's not just punish. Okay, we can start to see what biblical goals are for discipline. When we talk about classroom discipline, we'll talk about what are the biblical goals for discipline, the principles of classroom discipline. Hopefully that will help you for classroom discipline. And dealing with classroom disruption, what you can do with kids that really is disrupting your class. Okay, then we're going to go through that. When we talk about biblical goals, okay, and what is discipline? Okay, I think your reflection let me know that it's more like a punishment, but discipline is not punishment. It's more like a correction, a guidance. It's not punishment. Okay, so that's why when we talk about discipline, we go in there, have them not talk, quiet. Sometimes, how can you expect a kid not talking? We cannot really expect them not to talk. It's not normal. Okay, sometimes you have to allow some noise within that class. It's fine. Okay, but not everybody's talking and not listening to you. That's the second thing. But they allow to talk. You can give time to talk. Have them have time to discuss and talk it. Or you can have time to have them set up some time for them to discuss it or to do a skip and they will enjoy talking. Okay. So it's not discipline. No, it's not punishment, but it's a correction. Okay. And when we talk about biblical goals, there is a scripture that I want to read it that talks about discipline. It's on 2 Timothy. I think it's a very, very familiar scripture for all of you and for me too. 2 Timothy verses 3, chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. It said, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think this is what God wants us to do with our kids too. Okay, it's not just for adults, but for children. Okay, because we are teaching God's word, we're trying to teach them and this and help them to learn about God's word. So we are teaching them. When we talk about teaching, we're helping the children learn godly principles for success. What God's principle? What is God's principle want them to be so that they can learn? And when we talk about rebuking, we want to help the children to recognize his or her wrong behavior in conflict with principles. So we are not really like punishing them, but we want to let them know, understand what their wrong behavior is, okay? Help them to recognize it. And correcting, we're helping a child to make change in behavior to align with God's principle. Help them to know and direct them to follow what is God's principle are, okay? And finally, training, okay? And have a child to make plans for success in future situations. That's what we are trying to do for our goals of principle. It's not just punishing them, but teaching them in God's way, what is God's standard, how God wants to do it, okay? Help them to recognize they're doing wrong, if they do something wrong. And we're trying to help them to correct it, and train them to make plans for God. Okay? That's what, when we do discipline, that's what we're doing. That's what God wants us to do. So it's not something like what we have in our mind usually to punish them. Do the way that you want, but do the way that God wants. Sometimes we expect them to be quiet, listen. That's the way that we think they should be. But maybe in God's eye, it's not like that. Yeah. Even though if you remember when the children want to approach Jesus, the disciples does not want them to go because they're children. But Jesus asked the disciples, let the children come to him. He knows the children are not like, the disciples are not like an adult. They can be quiet or nice, okay? But Jesus are children. He knows how children behave. They know how they are, okay? Okay, so when we talk about discipline, and when we talk about good discipline, we emphasize in several things, okay? First is choices, okay? We have to make sure the children understand that he is making a decision about behavior and its consequence. There's always consequence of what they have to do. They make choices. You have to let them know they are making choices. And the consequence. It's very important to let them know the consequence. Sometimes a lot of kids, they don't think about the consequence. They just do it. But you have to let them know or teach them to know about the consequence. Second, okay, and also it's related to behavior. Make sure consequences are clear, related to the behavior, reasonable and respectful. Okay. Sometimes you have to tell them what is the consequence are when you're doing these things. And it's it have to be related to the behavior and reasonable and respectful. Okay. You can punish them, have them take the consequence. But the thing that you decided them to do have to be respectful and reasonable. Or else it will hurt the kid's feeling. Okay. It's not a good way to building them up, actually. It's probably and is doing another way.
Okay. What kind of consequence you all have?
Sometimes that's something. If they were disturbing the class, okay, talking, usually I'll give them chances. It's not like one time you are dead, okay, not like that. Usually I give them several chances, okay. I'll tell them, okay, if I write your name three times on the board, okay, then you will get punished, okay. Either punished, you sit on the side, time out, okay, you're not, or you are not being participate in the activity. When we playing games, you're not in that game because you're disturbing the class. Because you are not helping the class to go. You're just spending too much time on YouTube because you're disturbing the class. So we do that, and they will know. So when I write the first time, everybody knows, oops, their name is on one time. Okay? And if they do it again, you wrote the second time, and you tell them, okay, your name is on the board second time. There's only one chance left, and you know the consequence, have to sit over there. Okay, and the kids know. If you keep on telling them, they will know what is the consequence, what do they not able to do, or what they have to do, and the consequence. Yeah.
So we are talking about fairness. If you write my name on the board and I say, oh, Joseph was talking to.
Oh, of course. You have to be fair. You're not favoritism to one kid or not the other. You're not doing that. You have to be fair, consistent, and firm. So if you do this to one kid, you have to do it on the second kid too. Because if you only do to one kid, not the other, they will know that probably you may not punish them. You may not mean whatever you say. So sometimes if they, sometimes your kid, they are messy, they mess up the stuff, they like to, even though they have a, how do I say, like, they don't like to hold up the chair. When they move the chair, they like to drag instead of holding up. I'll tell them if they drag the floor, they see marks, they have to clean it. That's a consequence. Then they will lift up the chair and walk. Because that's true. They're making marks. They don't know. Or they just thought that it's not their house. They don't have to clean up. They will think that someone will clean it up for them. But they have to know that they have to learn it's not the way that treat other people. Because you're making another job for the person that's taking care of the church. You're not helping that person, but you're just making more work for that person to do. Sometimes you have to let them know. This is a way that you teach them to respect other people because you have to clean up yourself, or if you eat, you have to clean up, okay? If you're making stuff that's dirty, then you have to clean up, even though within the classroom, you're doing stuff, okay? They have to know what they have to do. What is the consequence? If they mix up, if they spill, they know that they have to clean up. That's the consequence if they spill. Classroom rules, we'll talk about classroom rules later. If you have to make classroom rules simple, again, it's not something very rigid, like 1, 2, 3, and 4. But you want to make something which you think is major. I think we'll talk about classroom rules later. Why don't you go to the next slide. Okay, we talk about consistency. Even though you are tired, convenient or not, you have to discipline them. You have to tell them what is the consequence, okay? Because they will challenge again. They observe, they challenge. So if you are not consistent, they know about it. They know. That's why sometimes some of the kids, they're not afraid of some teacher because they're not consistent. They will discipline one time but not the other. So they know that that teacher is not really mean it. So they are not consistent. And kindness, I think that's very important too. When some of the kids can really get into your nerve, make you very bad, but you have to be very calm because they know they get into your nerve. They know that, okay? And then they will think they win, okay? But you have to be very calm. And sometimes when you're not calm, you may not really thinking it right. And you may say something which is not nice. sometimes. When you deal with people, just like you deal with kids, when you're not calm, you may say something or you may do something which is not appropriate or hurting that kid's feelings. So you have to be very calm and have the right attitude. Let the kid know that. It's not, sometimes when you're punishing them, don't let them know that you are punishing because of who he is or who she is. It's because of what the action are. It's not because of the person, what kind of person they are. So you have to have the very right attitude to do that. So that won't give them a wrong message, thinking that you are attacking him or her instead of the action. Because they know, I have a boy come to me and say, like, complain, Auntie Kitty, I said, it's not fair. How come you all the adult like girls better than boys? And I said, why? Because all the summer camp teacher like girls, they favor girls much more. Okay, because whenever like boys do something or when they line up, they cut line, they only have the boys to go in the back. I said, no, I have both boys and a girl, because when I punish them, both boys and the girls were trying to cut line. I sent both of them in the back of the line. But he was complaining to me. I said, but I did not send only you, I sent the girls too. And he said, yeah, no, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the other teacher. The kid know, they observe. They know that sometimes they were thought teachers are more favored, girls and boys. I think most of the boys think that way. They thought like teachers like girls better than boys. But sometimes they will see if you do it to one kid, not the other, they can tell, they know it's not fair, it's not consistent, okay? So it's somehow they know it, they observe it, they see it. And somehow you don't know until one day they told you about this, that you don't know the decision that you make, they really see it and affect them too.
Well, sometimes it's really difficult to keep calm. I had a situation like I started the class, I asked them, any of you still remember what we have learned last week?
No.
One more student said, yes, one stupid guy made a stupid wow.
Oh, okay.
How old is the kid?
How old is him?
So like fourth grade? Fifth grade?
Oh. Actually, grade. I have the feeling that sometimes the kids, is not, their parents are seekers. So they are really doubts about what Bible said. They could ask very challenging questions and say something like that. That is very difficult for the teachers. Especially.
But the whole sentence was right. It was a stupid wow. That guy was not a smart guy. I mean, but it's the way he was talking me. At that time, it's difficult for you to really calm down, but it's very important. And that sometimes you really need to calm down.
Yeah.
I think at that age, you have to understand that it's not personal. They could just have a bad day. Something very, what you would consider inconsequential, could make them very miserable for the whole day. They have the same group of kids, and 1 week they're great, and then the next week, two or three are just, their goal seems to be to make your day as miserable as they are right now. And it's just because something, you know, they had a fight with their brother or their sister, and they're just not happy that day. But it's not, I don't think they're typically destructive. They're mm-hmm. just very chaotic. One day's good, one day's bad.
Yeah. I mean, for older kids, it's really hard to control your temper, make yourself calm. I teach fifth and sixth graders for many years before too. It's hard, but sometimes I think just like you're dealing with an adult, same way. I treat them as an adult. You cannot have that kind of temper even though you treat with your friends. Just like when you treat with your the children, same way you cannot have that temper. That's why when we talk about prepare later on, we have to always continuously praying to God. Because I think it's not just by our ability that can teach every week, not be discouraged, not to be disappointed. If you teach a kid, you see them growing up from kindergarten to sixth grade or even to junior high, the way that they turn into, sometimes make you really, really disappointed. You think that whatever they have learned from before, they forgot about it. But I think it's by praying to God, okay, that help you to keep on going. I teach like 8 years. At one point, I really want to give up, But it's just, I think it's God's grace and mercy, and you keep on praying. If you know that it's not what you have done, it's because what God has used you, and you may not see the result right away, because I think for children, doing children work, it's very hard to see the result right away, unless you have seen when they have talked about stuff that you hear, but or else you won't see the result, maybe in 20 years, maybe in 30 years. I think that's why it made me discouraged from before, because we always want to see the result right away. See, we want to see the kid change, especially when we're doing discipline. We want to see the kid being nice and behave, but I think that's only a dream for us. It's not. It's very hard to see them because they're still a kid, and as we have no that kind of power to just change them in a year or two. They are struggling to grow, and I think we are struggling to how to teach too, to know that it's not in our hands but in God's hand that they can change. I think the I don't know whether you have ever come across with a Christian that they go to church when they were in when they are a kid. Actually, I have met several people that constantly that tell me that the most important people that in their life that affecting them is the Sunday school teacher. But they won't tell you until like when they are 30 years old or 40 years old, or they decided to become a pastor, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, that you will never know, okay? Now I cannot imagine the kid that I'm teaching right now become a missionary or pastor. I can never see that, okay? But you will never know whether they will go into that path until they help God can use them. But a lot of people that can tell you, then when they go to Sunday school when they were young, they still remember the Bible verses they remember at that time. Whatever you teach them right now, they may not remember. But when they were in younger in children, they still remember the Bible verse. They still remember the teacher's faith and how they treat them. I think that's something that in the future that we cannot see. We'll have to continuously pray to God to help us, to make us calm every day. Because same thing, we'll never know what will happen every Sunday when the kids come in. Okay, it may be a chaotic day for us too, because you don't know what they have go through that comes into your class. Okay, so you may have a newcomer that is not controllable, never been to church, you don't know how the church is. Okay, even though you have a regular comer, okay, it may be a bad day for him or her that he does not or she does not react good in your class. So same way that like the children. Okay, we have a bad day too sometimes, and we have to continuously pray. And when we talk about goal of classroom management, we want to provide an environment that where children can have fun learning. Again, we're not talking about just for them to learn, but to have fun on learning. I think that's what kids want, and that's how you can make them to listen. If you make it fun, they will listen to you. So you have to be very creative in a sense. And when we talk about principle of classroom discipline, there's some principle we can talk about how you can have classroom discipline. First, you always be prepared. You prepare your schedule, okay? If you break down your 1 hour into 15 minutes interval, then you have to prepare your schedule, how it is. And also schedule meaning your kid will also give them a very comfortable environment and also a very, if you have the schedule every week, they tend to know the time and the schedule. It's easy to manage them. They are easy to adapt to their schedule too. So it will be less chaotic sometimes. Because they know what is next. So it's easy for them to go from one place to another, or one time to another, or one activity to another, if they know the schedule. And second, prepare your setting. Sometimes if you have space, you can set up different station for different things. One station can be art and craft. One station may be Bible story. Okay. One station may be some worksheet they have to do. Okay. If you set up those settings, different station, you set it up before time, before they come in, so that when they come in, it's already there. Because when you set up
So when you, when the kids were already here and you set up, you give them time to misbehave. Because when you set up, they can talk. When you set up, they can run around. So you have to prepare that before time. Okay, and also they can give them time to go different table. So when we talk about before the attention span time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, when you switch around, it also will decrease the time for them to get misbehave or lost their attention, because they're constantly on new stuff, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. They won't lose their attention because you're constantly switching things. And prepare your lesson. Again, if you don't prepare your lesson, if you don't grab whatever you need, then you will also give them time that they can wander around or wandering around because they don't know what's next. Okay. And last, you prepare your staff, meaning if you have other teachers, or we can always pray together. Okay. And it's very good to pray together. I think it's hard for us, even though for us, we say that prepare your staff to pray. But we, ideally, we always thought of praying every Sunday before we teach. But it's very hard to pray every Sunday before we teach together. Okay. But at least you can pray or encourage your staff or our teachers to pray, okay, before they teach, or constantly praying for the children and for themselves. Okay. And also, when we talk about principal, we have to be a positive teacher, okay? Positive meaning we have to be the teachers. We have to be fair. We have to catch them doing the right thing. Be willing to laugh. Show personal attention and pray God best for the students. We're not going in when I talk about discipline. Even though in some kids' eyes, I am a mean or a very disciplined teacher, but I always play with them. I always laugh with them. I always joke with them. That's why they like to play. They like me to teach them because I have fun thing to do with them. It's not like other teachers just go, hey, and talk, and they just sit there and listen. They don't like that because they already have it in school. And when I teach them, I will have activity, games to play with them, laugh with them. Sometimes I sit down and talk with them. What are they doing? What are you doing this week? Kind of building a relationship with them so that they know how you are. You are not, they know that you are fair. You play with them, you laugh with them. Okay. I think that's make them see you differently. Sometimes they see teachers always like a negative way. They always punish. They're not having fun. You're very boring, you go in the class. Some kid really complained to me, oh, that teacher is very boring. Oh, no fun with them. Oh, is that teacher again? Oh, no. They know. But if you have fun with them, even though you just discipline them, they still like you. They still want you to teach them because they know you have fun. And you know they know that when you discipline them, they always know that because they're doing something wrong. They're not right. Okay. Of course, it's not asking you to discipline them because they're doing good. But you always have to catch them doing right thing. Okay, when they're doing right thing, you have to applaud them. Let them know you're really doing good. So they have the confidence and they're willing to do right thing. Okay. And we're talking about rules. Someone has asked about classroom rules. You make simple rules, okay? 3 to 5 positive measurable rules. Don't make it too long because the kid won't remember. Okay, you have to make it short. Rules that for me is I usually tell them I respect them, so I expect them to respect me. That means I listen to you, you listen to me. If you talk, I don't talk because we have to listen. If I talk, I don't expect them to talk because they have to respect me. That's how respect means. So that's what I do with older kids. If you don't respect me, I don't respect you. I think that's very easy. Okay, so if you want me to respect you, you have to respect me. It's two-way thing. That's my rule zone. So, or if some other teachers like to set rules like, if you want to talk, you have to raise your hand. That's the kind of rules too. And, or you have to be nice to people. Simple rules that are realistic, positive. Okay, you're not telling them, do not do this. Some people like to set rules, do not talk, do not yell, do not, everything is negative. But you have to make rules that are more positive. I think it would be better for the kid. They won't go into a classroom thinking everything negative, but they can do stuff, okay? So it's easy to make positive and measurable rules, simple, so that they can remember. And also,
you can display your guidance for behavior. What is your guidelines for behavior? Okay, be consistent. Again, it's very important to be consistent. Even though you teach different grades, different class, the children talk between them. Okay, so just like we keep talk about teachers. When we go to college, children, they talk about teachers too. They know consistent. If you are mean, if one grade know you, the other grade will know you too, even though you don't teach them. Okay, because they talk together. Or they have brothers and sisters, so they know. Okay, or they play together, so you have to be consistent. Be realistic. Okay, you cannot set rules that are not realistic. And also, again, emphasize the positive. I think for Chinese, we are not doing this part all the time. We always emphasize negative, but we never emphasize positive. Emphasize positive. So I think especially this generation, they need more positive stuff. When you say negative stuff, it's very easy to discourage them. Somehow they are very easy to be discouraged. So you have to always say positive stuff so that they will see themselves able to do those stuff. Sometimes some of the kids, they will think they are not able to do stuff. They may not able to sit still. They may not able to do other stuff that you have asked them for. But if you're more positive for them, encourage them, and then if they do it, they will have the confidence and keep on doing it. Okay. We talk about next is dealing with classroom disruption. Well, when we talk about classroom disruption, I'll talk again. We have to know, we have to look past the behavior. See what kind of reason in the back. Why, what is the real need? Okay, sometimes maybe have a bad day. He don't have enough sleep. Maybe that kid need a personal attention, or they have some other kind of family problem that you have to look beyond the behavior. And also realize testing rules and asking questions is normal for kids. They always test your rules. They will try to see whether you are consistent. You really mean that. It's normal. Okay? And some kids, they need extra responsibility or attention. Some of the kids, they are. Okay? Some of the kids, you can tell them, okay, that's fine. Some of the kids, you may have to go personally to that person, talk to the eye level, tell them. Okay? More personal attention. Depends on your kid. And some need help dealing with distracting friends, okay? Some friends are very distracting, sitting together, okay? That person may not be behaving, but because of the friends. So when you see disruption in the classroom, you have to look beyond why. It's not just because of the kid are naughty or because they just like not to listen. They just like to disrupt. It may be a reason behind that we have to look beyond that.
But how do you know? I mean, if you are teaching now, all of a sudden this boy or girl is kind of distrusting. Are you going to talk to him or her on the spot?
Either you can like give them a warning, tell them not to do that. Okay, don't appreciate that, or you just tell them the rules again. And if he or she keep on doing it, probably have to pull that person on the side so that it won't disturb the class, because a lot of time, sometimes we spend too much time on dealing one kid and forget about the rest of the class, okay? But you don't want to do that at that moment. You probably have to pull that person out, and later on, the end of the class, you may have to go to that kid and talk to the kid. Tell them why you doing this. Do you know, is it right or wrong? Most of the kids tell you that they know it's not right. And when you ask them what to do, they usually tell you, I don't know. That's how they do. But this is what that's the regular answer you get, but just talk to them, pull them out for a while, okay? Maybe for 5-10 minutes, tell the kid, I'm gonna pull you out for 5-10 minutes because you're disrupting the class, okay? And we have to go on. And after 5-10 minutes, after you calm down, or you can come back, okay? So that the kid come back, okay? And then at the end, talk to the kid later on and see, find out. And some kids, if you consistently teaching that grade, that class, you will know which kid is always doing that thing, that kind of thing. And some of the kids, once a while, they will do stuff like that. But you will know one or two kids constantly disrupting the class, and maybe some problem with that kid. Or maybe something happened that you will have to find out what kind of problem is behind. Or did he behave it, or did she behave it in the same way in school? Because some of the kids behave the same way in school, not just in Sunday school. they are in school doing the same thing. Maybe the parents already know this. Maybe the school already asked them to do see a counselor. But you will not know until you're really dealing with the kid for a while. You cannot just tell by just one or two class, because it's not fair to the kid too. Because they don't know you and you don't know the kid. So probably after, at one point, probably have to pull that kid out and talk to them later, so that you won't lose the other kid's attention. But you have to talk to the kid later on. But if for a long period of time, you're teaching them for a month or 2 months, and that kid is doing like that, probably have to talk to that kid personally or their parents to find out whether it happens in school or at home too. Then maybe there's something more than just like this misbehave or just disrupting, or maybe some kind of issues in the back of it. Okay. And you know what's the difference between misbehave and a disruption? There's no answer. We don't have the answer on that. Well, I think it's very, it's not, for me, when I think of, is there any different misbehave and disruption? I really don't know the guideline was to make that difference. We all, for me, somehow, I will mix up disruption and misbehavior together. But I think there is other, there's guidelines on both. Maybe you can interchange when you see kids that are disturbing the class or misbehave the class. You can do the same thing. And for disruption, there is some practice strategies for regaining control. Sometimes when they're talking too loud or they are losing their attention, you can, if you access to the light, if you have a room that you in your classroom, you can switch the light on and off, that really will grab their attention. Oh, okay. Or like you turn off the light and say, oh, everybody scream, and then you turn back on, then they know that you're trying to gain their attention. Clap sequence, when you clap, that they will follow you, that we do that in church too. Depends on how many kids in your class. Okay. You can call and answer ears, okay? And you can silence, not talk. Usually when they talk too much, I usually will just shut up and not talk and look at them. I will do this. I'm waiting for them, not talk. And then after a while they will know, because I'm not talking, and they start to know that they have to come back. And moving closely to an individual and place a hand on the shoulder, okay? I think that's helped too. When you go up and then put a hand, okay? They will know, definitely. You don't have to say anything, they know, okay? And diversion. You probably have to distract the student with something else, okay? Probably saying something else to them, have them look at several stuff, other stuff, okay? Sometimes they're too excited in one thing that they don't want to switch it to a different idea, but you probably have to help them. And call them by name to get their attention. I think that's most of us will do, call their name. And sometimes you have to plan ignoring of bad behavior. Don't have the bad behavior to get into you, so that it just disturb your own sequence of teaching, some of your schedule. Sometimes some bad, bad behavior just make you so mad, to disturb you not to continue teaching. But don't let them do that, you can ignore. Sometimes you can do directly appeal, you applause it, okay? But you correction, it's better to do it in private, because again, kid does not like you to correct them in front of everybody. They don't feel good about that too. And you don't want them to feel bad about it. And sometimes humor, okay, can just laugh or just laugh with them. Okay, sometimes they're talking something which is not related and they're having fun, you laugh with them. But you say, okay, we can go back to this, and then they will go back. About misbehavior, okay, what you can do is we have to take care of discipline problems quickly. Okay, if you find them, they misbehave. You always look the children in the eye when giving correction or guidance. It's better to have them, to stand with them in the same eye level so that they can see your eyes and you can see into your eyes. Have to be firm. You cannot laugh. Cannot smile at that point when you're correcting them, that so that they will know you mean it. Okay. And again, you avoid public correction. you probably have the kids stay behind and talk to them, or put the kid in a place, probably in a corner, okay, not in front of everyone. Again, eye level, same eye level. And you have to make the misbehavior clear to the child. Let the child know what he or she did is wrong. You have to clearly know, okay? And also, you have to notice something positive about the children in the process. Sometimes, one time misbehave doesn't mean that the kid will misbehave all the time. And also, you have to find something positive about that kid, okay? Maybe some, you know, some kid, they will have positive stuff. Okay, once in a while, maybe they will misbehave, but kid, you can find positive things about children. Again, I think it's very important when you do something play, have to be positive, not just thinking in a negative way. And I think it starts from yourself being a positive teacher, how you to prepare and for yourself so that they will know, and at least they will know that they can have fun with you. Even though you discipline them, they will still want you to be a teacher because they know that you will have fun. And also, in that sense, you can teach them. They will tend to listen more than to listen to a teacher that they don't think they have fun with. Maybe, even though, I mean, I still have kids that in junior high can still keep the relationship with me because that's how they see me as a fun teacher. They can still talk to me even though they're in junior high. I think it's a relationship building. It's not just a teacher and student relationship, but also as like a Christian relationship building with the kid. And I think that's very important. And I think it's about time, right? Okay. I think we start late, so you may have questions, but I think it's about time to go for lunch, unless you guys want to stay behind. But maybe if you have questions later on, you can ask us, or if you want to ask us in lunchtime, it's fine. Or in the later workshop, you can still ask questions if we have time.
Yeah, in the afternoon workshop, I'm going to talk about using different ways to teach kids to make the lesson fun, to enjoy with them. So we'll play the game, we have different objects, you're running around, so be back with the energy, and we'll have fun, and we'll have a lot of time to talk about, and we have this play over here. Those magazines, feel free to take one home. A couple home. It's for you guys. I don't want to take it back home, it's heavy. These are just for resources that you can take along and
those are different kind of Bibles, different kind of curriculum that you can use for different ages, different organizations that have different curriculum. You can see how they differ. And those are different Christian magazines
for the kids.
Yeah.
And we get more.
Yeah. Before we go, why don't we have a prayer? Let us pray. Father, we want to come before you. We want to give thanks to you because you call us to be your servant, to serve the children in our church. I know that it is a very good privilege for us to teach your children and to teach your word and guide them to become a Christian that you will use, and to guide them to become a Christian that you will want them to grow like. And we pray that you will continue to use us and give us strength and wisdom, because we know that being a children workers, a children teachers, is not easy. We get disappointed. We easily get discouraged. But we pray that your Holy Spirit will keep on continuing to encourage us, to help us, to shape us to be a better teacher, to be a better teacher that you want us to be, and teach us how to teach the children the way that you want us to teach. Thank you for the time you give us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.